HomeAdvisor.com.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill Industries, Suncoast. Committed to helping people achieve their full potential through employment services, training, and affordable housing. The sale of donated items at Goodwill stores supports services to people locally and contributes to community conservation. More at goodwill-suncoast.org. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. This is community radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to executive session. This is your forum for the discussion of the executive branch of your United States government, keeping in mind at all times they work for you. I'm John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. All viewpoints are welcome. Civility is required as we test the proposition that the Republic may fare better if, instead of screaming at each other across the street, we talk with each other over the back fence. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. That will get you in contact with Mr. Bill Grace, who will answer your call, put your name up here on the board, and get you ready to step out onto the floor and have your say. You can reach us at dj@wmnf.org by email or by text at 813-433-0885, and that will put you in front of the august Victor Gomez, who has the email screen right across from us here, and has a flag he can wave if there's something up there that he has that he would like to put into the conversation. Sam is here. Almost did it again. Sam is here with us again today, and she is going to be observing, and she will be contributing and letting us know if we start to wander off into the weeds, which is an extremely valuable service because occasionally we do. If you just woke up from a coma, or you just emerged from your isolation tank, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy resigned from the court yesterday. Stephen Colbert had a little to say about that and a few other things last night.
You know, I feel the same way about being with you right now. And I don't want to be alone right now because I got something to say. Listen, if you're on a low-carb diet, you're in luck. Because there ain't no way to sugarcoat this. Today, Justice Anthony Kennedy announced he's retiring from the Supreme Court. I never thought I'd say this, but you're only 81. You know, they say 81 is the new 79. And don't tell me your mind's going, because I read Bush v. Gore and Citizens United. You never had one. This is a seismic political event because Kennedy has been the decisive vote in many cases, and his retirement gives Trump the opportunity to fundamentally change the course of the Supreme Court. And I would not trust Trump to fundamentally change the dessert course. Oh, we are supremely screwed. I look forward to Wolf Blitzer in 2021. In the end, this Supreme Court case will be decided by the swing vote, Justice Meatloaf. And this could have huge repercussions. Think about it. The court that just this week crippled unions, upheld Trump's Muslim ban, and race-based gerrymandering might turn conservative. Now, in a letter to President Trump, Justice Kennedy wrote, "This letter is a respectful and formal notification of my decision, effective July 31st of this year, to end my regular active status as an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court." Okay, effective July 31st. So enjoy your gay marriages now, because as of August 1st, you're back to being roommates. Yeah, and this could happen fast. Reportedly, the White House will push for a nomination and confirmation before the midterms. Well, of course, before the midterms. Just like you want to eat all the weed before the cop walks up to the driver's side window. Trump spoke to reporters about it today, and he teased who might get the big job.
We have numerous people. We have a list. We have a very excellent list. I think the list is very outstanding.
So get ready for Supreme Court Justice List. Then again, I could see Trump appointing Giuliani just to keep him off television. Now, you may recall that the Republicans got their 5-4 majority on the court because Mitch McConnell refused to let the Senate vote on Obama's nominee, Merrick Garland. That upset a lot of people, but Mitch McConnell is willing to take the high road and forget he ever did it. Because here's what he said today.
It's imperative that the president's nominee be considered fairly.
Oh, really? That's like Typhoid Mary saying, read the sign, guys, all employees must wash hands. But there was some good legal news yesterday when a federal judge ordered the Trump administration to reunite separated migrant families. I applaud this judge for this ruling, but it's a little sad that this is what counts as good news. Good news used to be, we got bin Laden. Now it's, we got Trump to release the kidnapped children. The judge did not mince any words in his decision. He called the family separation crisis a chaotic circumstance of the government's own making, which is also the very worst Lemony Snicket book. The judge instructed that nearly all children younger than 5 be returned to their parents within 14 days, and that older children be returned within 30 days. Yes, so important. 5-year-olds have got to be with their parents as quickly as possible. But 6-year-olds, they can take it. Yeah. Come on, 6-year-olds know how this game is played. Yeah, he kidnaps children. Democrats give him his border wall. They respect the playa. There's one problem with the judge telling the Trump administration to return the children. There is no formal process or clear protocol for tracking parents and children. What? You took them away and you can't even track children? Domino's can track my pizza. Let's have Domino's do it. Here's what we'll do. We'll just order all of these kids a large meat lovers. And the parents can then find them with their phones. I've got a perfect slogan. You'll get your child back in 30 minutes or you're free.
So, Donald Trump declared during the campaign that he would appoint, that he would only appoint pro-life judges.
On another issue which divides you and the justices that whoever ends up winning this election appoints could have a dramatic effect there, and that's the issue of abortion.
Right.
Mr. Trump, you're pro-life, but I want to ask you specifically, do you want the court, including the justices that you will name, to overturn Roe v. Wade, which includes, in fact states, a woman's right to abortion?
Well, if that would happen, because I am pro-life and I will be appointing pro-life judges, I would think that that will go back to the individual states.
But I'm asking you specifically, would you
if
like
to... If they overturned it, it'll go back to the states.
But what I'm asking you, sir, is do you want to see the court overturn? You just said you want to see the court protect the Second Amendment. Do you want to see the court overturn Roe v.
Well, if we put another 2 or perhaps 3 justices on, that's really what's going to be... will happen. And that'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court. I will say this, it will go back to the states, and the states will then make a determination.
The president invoked Anthony Kennedy's legacy last night at a campaign rally in Fargo, North Dakota, and said that Kennedy trusted him to preserve it. Now, Anthony Kennedy is the justice who, as much as anyone, is responsible for the American justice system recognizing women's right to choose. So the question is, how do you think he can square those two ideas?
I hear talk shows where people actually talk to each other.
Welcome to WMNF Tampa.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. was sound and great. Those were the days.
How do you think that the president can square the ideas that he declared during the campaign that he would promote or appoint only pro-life justices with the fact that he thinks that Anthony Kennedy has entrusted him to preserve his legacy, and a fundamental part of that legacy is the recognizing women's rights to reproductive responsibility? 813-239-9663 will get you in contact with Mr. Bill Grace. He will take your call. Put your name up here on the board and get you ready to step out into the session. Once again, we have with us here in the session, Mr. Victor Gomez and Samantha, who are going to do their dead level best to keep us between the guardrails this afternoon. And right now, what we are going to do is we're going to go over here and we're going to start talking and we're going to talk to Simon. Simon, good afternoon. Can you square those two? Can you square those two ideas? Simon, are you there? Let me try that again. Simon, are you there? We seem to... Oh, hold on. Try it now, Simon.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You know what? If you push this button, this thing works. It's
there you go.
It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Well, I hope you're beyond the internship. So
I revert back and forth.
Okay. I did want to address very quickly. I will get to the subject matter at hand, but I did want to address very quickly what an individual called as an idiotic response to the conversation we had the other day. And I don't know if you've ever taken art classes, but I always used to tell my kids, when you look at a tree, you either see the branches or you see the spaces that the branches create. When you look at, very quickly, Nazi Germany, and I was talking about the brown shirt tactics that Maxine Waters had suggested, was that with regard to the Jews, that wasn't what the analogy was. What the analogy was that the German people felt that they were the victim of the Versailles Treaty and the social economic situation in Germany. And when you consider, when one considers themselves a victim, like the progressives think of themselves as the victim of the Russian probe.
Really? The progressives think of themselves as a victim of the Russian probe? Have you listened to Donald Trump, Simon?
Absolutely. The victim of the Electoral College.
Donald Trump thinks he's being stalked through the streets, for crying out loud.
Well, listen, playing the victim card politically, it's always about the powerful competing against the powerful to control the weak.
Yeah, and how? Let me ask you a question because if you listen to the rhetoric around this immigration thing, around the immigration situation, I believe that you will hear that the White House is portraying the American people as being victimized.
I knew you were going to say that, absolutely. Yeah. I knew you were going to say that, but because what you're going to say is the political strategy that Donald Trump had was that look at these people coming over the border. They are taking your job.
Mm. Yeah, because I know that there are so many Americans' jobs being displaced out there picking vegetables and packing chickens.
Well, I thought that the use of identity politics was played by other people as well, is it not? And now it's turned against the progressives. But very quickly, you care so much about the children. And by the way, I've been an independent since 2004. I have no party affiliation.
Let me ask you a question. You are as an independent voter. I want to pick your brain for just a minute.
Sure.
As an independent voter, can you vote in either of the primaries?
No.
No. So your voting is restricted to the general.
Correct. I've been an independent since 2004.
Okay, so you don't get to pick the candidate until Correct. Everyone else has had their say.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, good. Thanks. I wanted to get the a little bit of information on record from somebody who's got that viewpoint. Thanks.
Now, if the people care so much about the children, then I would think that on the border, you would also care about being pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that'd be a linear thought.
Well, I don't know that the issue of pregnancy termination comes up much at the border. But if you're pro-life, if you say you're pro-life and you support taking children out of their families and spiriting them 1,000 miles across the country and putting them in pens in Michigan, I say. I don't know why your head doesn't explode with the cognitive dissonance.
Well, I don't agree with that strategy, if you will. I agree that children should be kept with the parents, and to let you, I'll let you go after.
Yeah. Well, listen. Meanwhile, just for a moment, back at the subject. Remember the subject?
I am pro-choice for women.
Okay.
I am not pro-life. I am pro-choice.
Uh-huh.
And as far as Donald Trump picking a candidate for the Supreme Court, I'm more interested in affirmative action. I'm more interested in social issues.
Yeah.
A women's right to control her own body, I agree with.
Yeah. But what if you, how do you see him possibly squaring his declaration that he will only put pro-life justices on the Supreme Court with him lauding Anthony Kennedy's legacy, which is choice?
Oh, that's a dichotomy. I don't know how he can do that, but I do think he will pick someone that's a pro-life.
Yeah.
That will... in essence, put aside Kennedy's legacy to somewhat.
Yep. All right, Simon, listen, thanks for kicking us off on a very wide-ranging conversation this Buckle Up Thursday afternoon. Appreciate you starting us off, and we'll talk again.
Take care.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. Bill Grace is back there furiously operating the telephones, and he's going to, he'll answer your call, talk to you, get your name up here on the board, get you ready to step in here. In the meantime, let's see. In order we take, Daryl, good afternoon. What do you think? How do you think this guy can do that? You think this president can square those two ideas?
Yeah. Well, after the bout with Simon, I'm kind of like my brain is mush right now. What are the two ideas?
You got to be nimble, Daryl.
Okay, I'm trying. Help me out quickly. I know what are the two ideas.
Well, during the campaign, the president, then candidate Donald Trump, declared himself in the debates as pro-life and declared that he would only appoint pro-life justices.
Okay, I got it.
Okay,
you.
Now, then last night in Fargo, he said that, he invoked Anthony Kennedy's legacy, all right, and appreciated the fact that Kennedy was resigning under his administration so that he could preserve Anthony Kennedy's legacy.
Well, first, trying to keep a civil tone.
Please do.
Understand, Donald Trump is an example of many, many Americans who went through 12 years of schooling. They didn't learn a doggone thing. They used it as a rite of passage.
Oh.
Okay? And their parents, for the most part, it was a giant babysitting session for them. He doesn't understand what he's saying. And by the way, this somebody who probably put in consideration Judge Jeanine Pirro. No, Pirro, we need somebody who has expertise in constitutional law and not running your mouth and acting like you drunk off of sangria coming on the television.
What if he appointed Rudy Giuliani or nominated him?
See, it's a joke. Rudy Giuliani back in the day, and saw a history thing on him, was pretty good,
uh-huh.
Okay? But I tend to gravitate towards the spiritual, and we don't really address that on WMNF. I see this as God just lifting the veil off of people's hearts and minds, and they're speaking what's on their mind.
Okay.
What's on their mind. I would just say this about what's going on. And Simon had said something to Maxine Waters. I'll be honest with you, I did not get to hear the insanity of the day when she made those statements. And I understand about, you know, the brown shirts there. That was just a result of people who saw themselves as being aggrieved because of that World War One treaty,
yeah,
whatever. And so you got to find a scapegoat. You got to find somebody. And
yeah,
it was the Jews.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there were people in Poland they wanted to exterminate, okay, because and calling them inferior race, Polacks and all that. Yeah, even that's a term that, you know, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were aggrieved. But
mm-hmm.
I'll just make this statement. Well, y'all have a good weekend, but let me say this. There's a saying, how you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Perry?
Uh-huh.
Some people, you're not going to miss your rights until they're taken away from you.
So right.
I kind of like, I know a lot of you going to disagree with me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your toes, but you know what? This stuff needs to happen so you can see just how stink and how ugly America can be. Oh, there goes somebody again, you know, putting down America. No, this is...
No, listen, you gotta... there's
our family. This is our house.
Yeah.
See?
There's always a balance. You can't, you can't just shine up the happy stuff and ignore the other stuff because this country is and always has been an extremely deeply mixed bag.
Sure you can.
You know.
You can do that because if you have a mindset to only see what you want to see and hear what you want to hear.
Right.
You know, you speak what's in your heart. You can be that way. And as I go, let me say something. Your phone screener, he sounds awfully a lot like Craig Collar. I was about to say something about the ice cream sundae, but have a good weekend.
All right, Darrell, listen. Stay buckled up, and we'll talk next week.
Yes, sir.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 as we careen through Buckle Up Thursday. They started early. They started Buckle Up Thursday yesterday afternoon, sometime late in the afternoon, when Anthony Kennedy threw this boulder in the pond, and we're still trying to find out whether we can right the canoe. And right now, we are going to go and talk to John in Port Richey. Good afternoon, John in Port Richey. You have the floor.
Hey, thanks. A few things. First of all, to your question about, can Trump appoint somebody in the vein of Anthony Kennedy but still appoint somebody that's pro-life? I think there's a flaw in your premise.
Okay.
And your premise is that Trump is telling the truth about appointing somebody in the vein of Kennedy. So he doesn't care about that. He cares about his base. He's going to appoint somebody that's pro-life and forget about the whatever he said about keeping Kennedy's legacy alive.
Yeah. So that was just one of those in the moment spontaneous utterances that he makes.
There you go. Yeah, it's a Trumpism. So
yeah.
Your whole premise is...
Uh-oh, we've coined a word.
Yes. second thing, I think that the issue that a lot of conservatives have about liberals being so pro-children but yet pro-choice is that I think most of these people, these liberals, especially for me, I don't think of a fetus as a child. It's a fetus.
Okay.
Until it is actually born, then it is a child.
Well, I want you to know that you and medical science are along the same lines,
if that means anything to you. Into this now. Come on.
I am occasionally guilty of invoking science, I will admit it, in the session.
That's that fake science along with climate change, so don't be bringing that in.
Yeah. Okay.
So that isn't really so hard to kind of rationalize that justification, that sort of dichotomy with people that are more liberal. Whereas mm-hmm. conservatives, I think, is more hard to rationalize because they see that as a child, but yet once the child is born, they don't want to take care of it.
So liberals don't?
What's that?
Did you say, wait a minute, let me see, let me back up just a second, because I looked away for a second, and my brain followed my eyes.
I'll repeat that for you.
Okay.
Most conservatives see the fetus as a child.
Yes.
Not separating those two things.
Right.
So once that fetus is born and is a child, then they don't want to take care of that child that's already born.
Okay.
Let it fend for itself. That manifests.
Yeah. Give it a pair of boots and tell it to lift itself up by the straps.
Right. So I think that's harder to reconcile those two beliefs because they think it's a child from conception. Their problem is that once it's born, man, you're on your own. Forget you. We don't care about you.
All right, listen. I invite anybody who wants to try this. First off, get in good contact with your chiropractor. And then go out and get you a pair of boots, all right?
Yeah.
And then reach down and grab those straps and try to pull yourself up.
Yeah, it's physically impossible because of Newton. You know that?
Yeah, it's a
reaction. There's an opposite and equal reaction. But once again, don't bring science into this.
Okay, I'm sorry. I did that twice in this conversation. I'll see if I...
Let's not be doing that. Don't confuse me with the facts here now.
All right, John, listen, we're going to go. We got a little bit of business to tend to. We're going to come back into the conversation. Thanks for your contribution, and we will talk again. Stay safe over the weekend. All right, we are going to wander away from the conversation for just a minute. We are going to bring you some information to let you know who else is alongside you in supporting your community radio station, and also let you know about some things that are happening around the station.
The WMNF Americana Fest takes place July 14th at Skipper's Smokehouse. The annual summer event is a great showcase for roots rockin' bands from the Southeast. The lineup includes the Hummingbirds, Oak Ramble, American Songbox, Matt Woods, Hangtown, Band of Sorrows, Cottondale Swamp, Joshua Riley, Hannah Harbor and the Lionhearts, and the 502s. 4 p.m. to midnight, the WMNF Americana Fest.
Support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus, a traditional sit-down shoe store. Locally owned and operated, Happy Feet Plus features Kenco massage sandals and medical-grade orthotics. More at happyfeet.com. All right, back to the conversation, and we're going to go and we're going to talk to Danny. Danny, I appreciate your persistence and your patience, and what do you got to say this afternoon about this? Do you think that this, how do you think Donald Trump can square those two notions?
Oh, I don't say how he can, but in his mind, he can.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, from death, Donald Trump.
Well, I'm fortunate enough not to be plugged into his mind.
Oh, God, I know it is, and it's so great not to be. I'll tell you, and then Simon saying, victims? Victims? That's just preposterous, as saying that the rights claim is saying that the left is uncivil. Compared to what Donald Trump has done.
Yeah, did. I saw somebody who pointed out the irony of lecturing Maxine Waters on being chased out of a restaurant.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Come on, man. You know, I want to take this at hand, the issue at hand with Anthony Kennedy. But the other night I was watching him rail in South Carolina against everybody he could think of. I'm surprised he didn't go back to junior high school, okay, just to talk about people who made fun of him or whatever, which I'm sure they were.
Yeah, that's what you call wide-ranging comments.
Wide-ranging comments. And when he mentioned Colbert and, called him a late-night a loser, no talent, and he said Jimmy Fallon was a lowlife, well, they did a little skit there on, I don't know if you saw
I saw. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it was great. But I don't know if you caught when he said, great comments. He goes, Johnny Carson was great, and Colbert said Johnny Carson. He repeated. He goes, yes, he's right. He was a legend. He goes, let's go back to a clip.
Yes.
1992. It was the whole Jennifer Flowers thing with Bill Clinton was going on. And Carson says, well, did you see where Jennifer Flowers got fired? Oh, everybody, woo. He goes, but that's all right. They got a backup mistress now for Donald Trump. She could be a backup mistress for Donald Trump. I thought that was great. I thought that was like right in your face, Donald. Now, let's go to the issue at hand.
You're having way too much fun with this, Danny. You are having way too much fun.
He's just a big, just a bitch. He's just so
Watch fun. Yourself. Watch yourself.
I know. No, I was going to say he's just so much fun. Now, Anthony Kennedy, retiring. And listen, Chris Matthews reiterated during the campaign what he told Chris Matthews, that he thought that women should be punished. I don't know if you remember that. That they should be punished for abortion.
Yeah, it should be some kind of punishment, yeah.
Yeah, he goes, well, I don't know. He goes, should be punished, you know? Well, yeah, first of all, pro-life is anti-choice, okay? Mm-hmm. So, in my opinion. So all he's doing is giving a big payback to the evangelicals. I don't even think he cares about the subject himself, at all. And that is exactly what's going on. And, but I did hear Lawrence O'Donnell say that. Lawrence O'Donnell say this. I don't know if you saw this, or maybe you might agree with this, that if it comes down, they may come down where they need maybe one Republican, to block this nominee.
Yeah, that because John McCain's not in the Senate right now, and the Senate is at basically 49 to 50.
Right.
That it doesn't take very much, and then pointed out that Lisa Murkowski the senator from Maine, whose name I... For
Susan
some reason,
Collins.
I can't recall. Susan Collins, yeah.
They also mentioned Jeff Flake.
Yeah. Yeah, because Jeff Flake can throw a grenade and leave.
Oh, he could make history if he just comes in. Would that be, that'd be beautiful. I'll tell you, I hear that, listen, tensions are high nowadays, okay? Duh, tensions are high, but a lot of people, one-third of people think there's going to be a civil war within the next 5 years.
Really?
I'll tell you what, it's a powder keg.
Where did you hear that?
I heard that this morning and yesterday.
Yeah?
They did a stat and they repeated it on The View. And Joy Behar repeated it on The View. Okay. One-third of people in this country think there's going to be a civil war within the next 5 years. Now,
I'm going to tell you something. What I would urge people to do is there is an excellent series. There's actually a couple of excellent series about the Civil War. And I was watching one of them. I don't think it was the Ken Burns one. There was another one. And they did some very, very profoundly in-depth reporting on what it was actually like to be in that war. And I can tell you that anybody that wants to do that again is nuts.
Well, I'll tell you what, a few months, maybe about a month or 2 months ago, I don't know if you remember, but there was a big sign there in one state. They had printed out there. It said there, liberals, if you impeach Trump, get ready to get your guns. Okay? And that's disturbing. But let me leave you with this.
Okay.
The tensions are high. Right now, this is going to be the most important midterms ever. We have to remember in November to go vote, because if this guy, God forbid, like I said before, comes out again and he wins re-election, we're in danger of seeing fascism like we've never seen before, or a nuclear war.
Okay, I appreciate your uplifting comments, and we'll close them out for Buckle Up Thursday, and we'll talk again next week. All right. Seriously, go and get yourself a good look at the documentaries that are available where they actually go in and describe literally what the battles were like in the Civil War. We can't do that again. That's all there is to that. There's absolutely no future in it. Ted in Port Richey, good afternoon. You are in executive session and you have the floor.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Ted.
I thought so.
I've been listening to the show ever since it came on the air, and I decided it's finally a time for me to throw in my 2 cents.
Well, welcome to the session.
Okay. I really take exception to the term of using the term pro-life to describe people that are anti-abortion.
Okay.
because there's a heck of a lot more involved in being pro-life. I mean, as one of your previous callers said, what about taking care of the children after they're born? The Republicans are cutting out the free lunch program this summer for the children. There's
CHIPS program.
Yes, right, exactly. And, you know, in so many other ways, cutting out health care for the poor. And so many of the people receiving Medicaid are children. And they don't care about that. You know, after you're born, you're on your own. And the previous caller also, you know, explained the difference between a fetus and a child and science to do that, which I certainly agree with. So I think we should stop using the term pro-life, because that was something that was generated by the anti-abortionists.
Yeah.
To make the people.
I believe if you look around the landscape, you will find that the Republicans have been very, very good at assigning names to things. Okay? For instance, the media routinely refer to abortion clinics. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, is that a facility that is there fundamentally for the purpose of providing termination of pregnancy, medical termination? That's an abortion clinic. If it's a women's medical center, a women's health center, that has as part of its service medical termination of pregnancy, that's a women's health center. Otherwise, we'd have to call hospitals amputation centers or some such. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right about that. They are very good at labeling things.
Yeah. And you go wonder, because if you hear about, I wonder what the conversation would be about if instead of talking about closing abortion clinics, we talked about closing women's health centers.
Yes, that was, you know, putting the correct label on things is very important. And the Republicans are masters at mislabeling things for their benefit.
Well, they're very good at characterization. They caught on to the power of language very early, and they have been very effective at using it. I don't know if you've watched this, but the Republicans characteristically are the people who give the terminology for something. You know, tax relief. They called the Affordable Care Act Obamacare. That was the Republicans, the right, if you want to call them the right, being very effective at giving people the language they use to talk about stuff.
You're absolutely right about that. Before I go any farther, I just want to say with regard to the Supreme Court, I don't know what's going to happen, but people shouldn't despair. No matter what happens, if we all come together, we can stop things. I think right now one of the most important things we people in Florida can do is to support Senator Bill Nelson's bid for re-election, because if the Democrats have any chance of...
This is a political announcement here.
They need Bill to stay in.
Well, that's an expression of opinion, and I appreciate that. And basically what we have been... you will hear me drag my soapbox out from underneath the counter over and over again and harangue people about voting, about going out and vote and take and use their, I know that we look at the midterms in November, but there are primaries coming up in Florida in August, and the primaries in August are what determines who we vote on in November.
Yeah, I always vote in the primaries. I think your vote counts more
good.
In the primaries, actually, than it does in the general election.
I think you're right. And by the way, go get a friend. Seriously, yeah. Take a friend out there. And if you got somebody in your family that's not registered yet, take them down and help them get registered. If somebody needs an ID, find out what they need and go help them get it. Because we need to be up and voting.
You're absolutely right. I'm 100% with you on that.
All right, Ted, listen, we're going to go and take care of some other business here, and I hope that you and I get to talk again. Welcome to the session. I appreciate you coming in.
Pleasure speaking with you.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We are once again going to step away from the conversation. I'm going to bring you some information about what's going on around the station and also remind you about some of the folks that are helping you support your radio station. On August 19th, WMNF will be honoring Tampa Bay individuals and organizations who are sowing the seeds of equality and peace and promoting social, economic, and environmental justice. It's our first ever Homegrown Heroes celebration. And from now until July 15th, you can nominate a person or a group as a hometown hero. Go to WMNF.org for more information and to make a nomination.
Hi, this is Larnell Scott with a WMNF community announcement. Superheroes are fun to watch at the movies. However, there are almost 1,000 abused and neglected children in Pasco and Pinellas counties waiting for real-life superheroes to volunteer as guardians ad litem and become their voices. These precious children need volunteers to help them find safe, permanent homes. Guardian ad litem volunteers become superheroes to our community's children. You may learn more at herotoachild.org.
Back to the phones, and we're going to go and we're going to talk to Ted in Newport Richey. Good afternoon, Ted in Newport Richey. You are in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Hey, John, this is the other Ted.
The other Ted.
Back-to-back Ted. I don't know. Let me start off by saying, buckle up Thursday. We all need to head and have our seatbelts exchanged for racing harnesses.
Get that five point restraint snugged in.
Get that neck thing on and the helmet, because we're going to need them. I agree with Dan. One third, pushing one half, ready for a revolution. I mean, when the open hand ceases to work, do you go to the closed fist?
Well, before we go to the closed fist, I want to go to the voting booth. So, because that is our peaceable means for instructing the government to follow instructions.
I agree, and if we could get the progressive or non-progressive left to vote in this country, we would probably have a different system than what we have now. But if you look at the percentages of people who voted, where they stand, we're kind of hurting for people to get to the polls. So I agree with you. You know somebody who's not voting, find out why, take them to the poll.
Yeah.
The second thing I'd like to mention, I'm going to try and go quick through these points real quick. Christians have so little faith in their religion that they want to force people to follow their religious beliefs, i.e. abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you had faith in your religion, you would put it out there and people would choose not to have an abortion because you believe that having an abortion is a sin. But if you can't get people to that level of understanding of religious faith, then you have to force them.
Yeah. I also think there is a hint of personal responsibility in the Christian religion, and I believe they acknowledge that we were created with free will, and we have the sovereignty to make our own choices. Now, we also have the responsibility for the consequences. You know,
correct.
And it doesn't say it. You know, there isn't anywhere that I saw that Jesus talked about legislating stuff.
Yes, and that was my next point, is that God gave man free will, the choice to choose, be this way or not.
Right.
So how is man believing in God and upholding his rules going to overstep God's bounds and take away that free will?
Yeah. That's not a, by the way, that's not an uncommon feature of religion, if I think back on it.
I believe, yes. And Buddhism is not a religion, although it tends to get lumped into that category.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. Yeah, pro-life. You can't be pro-life if you support the death penalty. I mean, it has the word death right in it.
So it's kind of certainly does.
There. And I guess my last point is, my wife and I were just talking about this. Where are we going to move to? I mean, it's getting to the point where the followers of President Twitler are getting more and more emboldened. Just a couple of days ago, somebody put on a post on Facebook about the children being forced to, you know, recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, I saw that.
And made a comment that, yeah, they should be able to do that. These sand N-words.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Be forced to do that. And here they are, totally emboldened by the America that they live in now, thinking that they're right. They have a leader in the White House who's saying, no, punch them in the face. Beat them up. If they don't agree with us, beat them up.
Yeah, I think it's amazing to take a child from their parents, transport them to a distant location, confine them under guard, and then require them to recite a verse that is a pledge to the country that did that.
Huh, it almost sounds like a cult.
You could go there with that, I guess.
Yeah, and my last point before I get off the line is, when are they going to start arming fetuses?
I don't know. Right? I think there's a limitation on medical technology for that one.
All right, John, you have a great one.
All right, Ted, listen, stay safe.
All things you guys do.
We'll be back. 813-239-9663 as we are on the upsweep through the fastest hour in radio, headed for the lightning round on this bumpy, bumpy Thursday afternoon. And stand by, because as I said, they've already thrown a boulder in the pool and there's no way to know what's going to happen over the weekend. So make sure that your bucket seat is well bolted to the floor and your five-way restraints are snug. And right now we're going to go and talk to Rob in Thanota Sassa. Good afternoon, Rob. You're in executive session this afternoon. You have the floor.
Hey, thanks, John. I wanted to comment on, I think, Danny's comments on the Civil War just briefly, in that it's interesting that it seems like that whichever side of the political spectrum you're on, when you're on the outs, it's always when there's speculation about the impending Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
I know several years ago, maybe over a decade, it was all about on the right. The Civil War is coming within 5 years. It's always 5 years because, 3 years is a little too soon. So it's always 5 years. And I think now that the left feels a little beleaguered, it's like, it's a frustration thing. And I don't see it happening for various reasons.
Well, I have very conservative friends far out in the other side of the country who have been saying that that they considered that a real possibility for a number of years.
Well, the problem is we have too much good policing and military prowess that I don't think you can have, an 1860 style.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and I remind people of this on a regular basis. I know that you guys out there, even the more militant, and folks that will admit that they're the more militant, who have their arsenal of AK-47s and AR-15s right, and that kind of stuff, the state can deploy weapons platforms like an AC-130, that can put a bullet in every square inch of a football field in a minute.
Right.
Okay? They have missiles they can throw at you from offshore and stuff 34 pounds of high explosives in your kitchen window.
Yep.
Okay, I'm not sure that your AK-47 is going to be a truly effective deterrent.
It would not, and that's why you won't have that kind of civil war. But you could have basically what I was going to say is like a sort of like a Irish Civil War thing where you just have like tit for tat domestic terrorism
among the population. Yeah.
I blow up your coffee shop. You blow up my bar. You know?
Well, I wonder what the federal government would do about such an uprising. I mean, you know, the federal government can't possibly allow that to happen.
No, order will be maintained, and if anything, the United States is in some sense a law and order country that way. And you know, I mean, you can't carry beer on the street, which is kind of ridiculous. I don't know, that wouldn't happen, but you couldn't stop individuals. So you would be kind of like what you see with the Middle East with Islamic terror, you know, or Islamist terror, let's say. And that would be that, you know, you couldn't stop individuals from, you know, going out there and putting themselves at risk and blowing themselves up, or you know, the things we see, you know, someone walking in with a gun and shooting the hell out of the place. That could happen. One real quick thing also, I want to talk about Kennedy really quickly, that one of the problems is I remember speaking to millennials at length prior to the election, and I said, you know, you're so mad at Hillary, and I get it, you know, Hillary was a flawed candidate, and a lot of the millennials loved Bernie. And, like, you could tell, I'm not going to vote for Hillary, I'm just not going to vote, or I'm going to write in Bernie. I said, you know, you got to think down the line. I'm a bit more jaded about things. Sometimes you have to hold your nose and, you know, make the choice, you know. And it's like I said, because what's going to happen is you're going to get Trump, and what you're going to get is he's going to appoint Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, you got to be careful who gets in that Oval Office, because they can do some, and get up to some mischief pretty quick.
And now he gets two right away, and if you know, and he's still got two more years, and then it depends on how the midterms go. But I mean, you know, some of these guys we just saw with Scalia, you know, they could just drop dead, you know.
Yeah. All right, Rob, listen.
I
appreciate you taking us across the threshold into the lightning round, and we will talk again. Listen, there is a series. I believe that was put together by CNN, and I'm not absolutely sure about it, but it's about 1968. As a matter of fact, I think it's called 1968. It's four programs, and it's presented in the seasons of the year. If you want to see what was going on in the country at that time, and we want to talk about divisions, and if you want to talk about strife as a perspective, just as a backdrop for what's going on right now, that's a very, very interesting piece of work to look at. And right this minute, going to go and talk to Patricia. Patricia and Brandon, you may very well have the last word here on Buckle Up Thursday. You're in the session, and you have the floor.
Thank you. Let me say that besides my own indigenous philosophy, I went to San Jose State University to study political science and philosophy, and we Homo sapiens, we create our own social, political, economic, environmental problems. So we need to find solutions to those problems.
Okay.
Since we were the ones that created them, right?
Yeah.
So, when it comes to the Supreme Court, historically, has always been on the side of the powerful, on the side of the elites, and has most of the time punished the afflicted. So this gentleman, corporate gentleman, I call them, at the Supreme Court in long black dresses, I think, robes.
Yes, technically, I believe they're known as robes.
Are just partisan politicians.
Some of them are. You know, the interesting thing is that there seems to be something about sitting on that bench that alters people, because there are people up there who were expected to be one way who have been very much in other ways. All right. Mm-hmm. So, and I would point out to you that the Supreme Court has, in recent years, kind of stepped away from that rich and powerful thing. And I mean, they have stepped into the observation and confirmation of marriage equality. And, you know, so there's a little bit of balance, but your point is well taken. Listen, Patricia, we have got to go. The time okay. wall approaches, and I appreciate you closing us out on Buckle Up Thursday, and we'll talk again.
Thank you.
All right.
I was listening to great talk. Now I'm listening to great music.
Welcome to WMNF Tampa.
Today on It's the Music with Stu and Amanda, their celebration of Gay Pride Month, and Queen has their first live gig in 1970, and this is a birthday celebration for Cyndi Lauper. We will be back. Thank you very much, Victor and Sam, for being in the studio with us this afternoon, and we are looking forward. We're going to convene again on Monday at 1. One, and in the meantime,
keep your eyes on the road, your hand upon the wheel.
This is WMNF Tampa.